Well, today I want to introduce you to an interesting guest, someone I've known for about 10 years or so since moving into Northwest Indiana. He worked as an editor and producer for Ancient Faith Radio in the early days. He's a tonsured reader in the Orthodox Church in America, and his name is Ron Smith, and he's in our studio today. Welcome,
Hi.
Ron.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate you coming. Tell us, where do you live?
I live in Mokena, Illinois.
All right. So your drive here was an hour?
You know what? It takes a little longer because I take the scenic route.
The scenic route.
If I took the expressways, it'd be even less than an hour. But hey, yeah. I want to see God's nature.
Yes, in Northwest Indiana, beautiful dunes, yes. Etc. Yes. Well, thanks for making the trip.
Sure.
Appreciate that. Where do you go to church, Ron?
I go to St. John of Chicago Chapel. It's an offshoot of St. Luke OCA Church in Palos Hills, and our chapel is in New Lenox, Illinois.
Okay. Just relatively new then?
Yes, we've been around for about 3.5 years.
Okay. And who's the priest?
The priest is Father Andrew Harris.
Yes, who was at St. Luke.
Who was at St. Luke and is now semi-retired. He's officially retired, but he still handles the chapel.
Well, we met here in Chesterton when you would come out to St. Elizabeth on a regular basis, St. Elizabeth, the new martyr church. And I can't remember who told me, it may have been you, that you have a background in radio. So tell our listeners about that.
Well, I was in radio for a number of years. I was a broadcast major in school and then got my first job in Joliet, Illinois. I was a morning man and a program director at an oldie station there. And then went to Chicago, where I was in charge of research for WKQX for a number of years. And then became the music director at Oldies 104.3 in Chicago. And finally, after a little hiatus, I came back into radio and was the evening disc jockey and the music director at Real Oldie 1690 in Chicago.
Well, people can tell from your voice that you have a background in radio, that's for sure. But what people would not realize, and that I learned later on, is that not only did you work in oldies radio, but you are kind of among the elite in terms of knowledge base and history of oldies music.
Well, I don't know if I'm in the elite. But I feel like every radio station needs to have an expert. And when I worked at both the oldie stations that I worked for, I tried to be the expert. And I have a vast library of books and have read them all. A lot of times people buy books and they don't read them. And I don't always remember the story perfectly, but I remember there is a story and then I go look it up, and that's all you need to know in this world.
Didn't you write a book, though, also?
Actually, I have 5 books, but they're mainly reference books. 4 of them concern the Chicago Top 40 music charts, and then 1 of them is what happened on this day in oldies history.
Well, growing up in Chicago, as a youngster, we were big fans of WLS, and the name Dick Biondi was on our lips quite a bit.
Dick is still a very good friend of mine.
I was going to say.
I worked with him for 8.5 years.
You are good friends with him.
Yes,
that's amazing.
In fact, I'm very blessed to have worked with so many big names. I was very good friends with Art Roberts, who passed away about 10 years ago. He was the closest thing I had to a mentor. I worked twice with Joel Sebastian. I worked with Tommy Edwards, Larry Lujack, world famous Tom Murphy, who still sends Christmas cards and signs them World. I've worked with so many of the big names in Chicago, and they're all wonderful people. If you think this is not a good business to be in, just meet some of the wonderful people in it.
Well, Ron, we wanted to find out about your background in radio for sure, but the primary reason I wanted you to come on with us is I happened to be watching on Facebook some of your posts, and you kept referring to a movie called Heavens to Betsy, and then it was Heavens to Betsy 2, and then I saw Ron Smith, executive producer, so that caught my attention. And I wanted to find out a little bit more about your film production experience. What does it mean to be the executive producer of a film?
Okay, first of all, I am not the executive producer. I am one of the executive producers. And the executive producers basically are the people who finance the movies.
Okay.
And so I happened to be in a position where I was able to invest in Heavens to Betsy and later on Heavens to Betsy 2. And so my job essentially is to write checks. And then get out of the way of some very good people who do very good work.
Well, it seems like we're at a time when there are several faith-based films around. We had Robert Krantz from the Faith, Hope, and Love film interviewed on one of our shows not long ago. The Unplanned movie is now out, and this movie. What do you think is happening here with more and more of these films?
I think there's a hunger for this kind of film. In fact, I was talking with a priest just a couple of days ago, and he said the future of films is independent films, not just faith-based, but independent, period, because Hollywood is putting out some incredibly, not bad films, but bad messages.
Yeah.
And if you want a film that has an uplifting message, if you want one that has a spiritual message, you're going to have to go to independent films and, of course, faith-based films.
Yeah, and my wife and I like to go to movies occasionally, and I have the Flixster app on my phone, and it gets to be Friday or Saturday, and we start thinking, let's go to a movie. So I look to see what's playing in my area, and it is rare that we end up going.
Here's one of the reasons why PureFlix, which is the Christian version of Netflix, is so popular, is because it is strictly faith-based films, and I'm told that they have over a million subscribers to that service.
Interesting. Wow, I did not know that. And so the film that you have worked on and helped promote and finance is a part of the PureFlix
network? Yes, it was. We had an exclusive deal on the first film to stream Heavens to Betsy on PureFlix.
Okay.
This film, we're branching out. We're right now on Amazon, and in May, it'll be on PureFlix again, Heavens to Betsy 2. They've been very good people. They worked with us on the first film. They're the ones who gave us the inspiration to create a sequel. So,
And we have yet to see the first one, but we did watch the second one recently, and we watched it on Amazon Prime.
Yes,
that's fun to
see. And the nice thing is, if you have Amazon Prime, you get it for free.
Yeah, it was free.
Both films, actually. You can watch both of the films for free on Amazon Prime. The nice thing about the second film is, if you haven't seen the first, and I would suggest that you still see the first, because it's a very, very funny film. Totally different. We ask different questions and we answer different questions in the first film than we do the second. But if you have not seen the first film, then you can get caught up, because over the credits of the second film, it's kind of like when you watch Rocky II and you get to see what happened in Rocky I. It's the same thing here. You get to see all the main highlights of the first Heavens to Betsy film.
Okay. Well, we don't want to give anything away, but to the extent that you feel it's wise, tell us about the plot.
Okay. In the first film, we really have to, because it's a sequel, we have to mention the first film. In the first film, Betsy Simon is a children's book author, and she's very religious. She has prayed all her life, and she is very upset because she prayed that she would get a book deal for her children's book. And it didn't happen. And she was disillusioned. And she goes to church. And like a lot of people, she lashes out at God and says, "All my life I've prayed. I've prayed for other people. And you've never answered even one of my prayers." And how many people have we seen who have said that? You've never answered any of my prayers. And she says, "Would it have been so hard for you to have answered one prayer for me?" And she gets up, and she's obviously very upset, and she walks out of the church. And when she walks out of the church, every prayer she's ever prayed has come true.
Uh-oh.
Everything. She doesn't even recognize the SUV she's driving. She's wearing a mink, and she takes it off and says, "This isn't mine," and she gives it to a homeless person. And she doesn't even know where she lives, because someone else is living in her old apartment, which, by the way, is my apartment. That's where we filmed it. and then they say it's a bad neighborhood. What do you mean a bad neighborhood? That's my apartment.
Come on.
Anyways, she looks at her driver's license, realizes she lives in a mansion. She goes out there. She realizes that her books were successful. She's sold a million copies of her books, and she's so very wealthy, and she has everything that she ever wanted, including she's married to the boy she had a crush on in eighth grade. She even has the bicycle that she prayed for when she was 6 years old. It's hanging in one of the rooms. She's a very successful person, but she discovers there's a price for that. Because she became successful, she thought she was the reason for the success. And so she doesn't give any of the credit to God. In fact, she now runs an atheist organization. And she's being asked to speak in front of all the atheists, and she is as far away, yeah. the real Betsy is as far away from that as possible.
Yeah.
And so she tells the truth, and then she realizes that her whole life is, you know, this life that she got because she prayed is all wrong. The only thing is that she has a sister who died of cancer, and she prayed that the sister would live, and so in that alternate reality, the sister is alive.
Mm-hmm.
But even the sister is not a particularly nice person. She's become greedy and corrupt, and so we initially, when we created the first film, we had her turn her life around. But it was suggested to us by the PureFlix people that if we ended it with her going back to her old life, having learned her lesson that it's not my will but thy will be done, that we could have a sequel. So there's where Heaven's Betsy 2 takes off.
Right.
She writes a book about her experiences. But the big question there is, and we had it ourselves, is that, okay, you prayed to go back to your old life, but your sister is now dead again. How do you reconcile that? And that becomes the big plot point, actually, in Heaven's to Betsy 2, is because she writes a book about her experiences. Initially, she's told to downplay the faith aspects of the book, and she denies her faith, and then realizes that, you know what, this is not the way Christians act. I'm like Peter denying Christ.
Mm.
So she turns around and admits to everyone that the book is true and it actually happened. And now she's being accused of pandering to the Christian market for fame and fortune.
Hmm.
And in fact, she ends up on a talk show with an Anderson Cooper type talk show host who wants to basically make her look foolish.
Yeah.
That either she's delusional or else she's pandering to the Christians, but in no way, shape, or form did this actually happen. And one of the things he brings up is, you know, well, didn't you then kill your sister a second time?
Huh.
And she has to have an answer for that. And that's, of course, the climactic moment of the film,
yeah.
is her giving an answer to that and also expressing her faith to people who are basically godless.
Talking with Ron Smith. Ron is a longtime friend of mine and at Ancient Faith Radio, but he is also one of the executive producers for the film Heavens to Betsy, both 1 and 2. And we've already established that, Ron, you are an Orthodox Christian, but Heavens to Betsy is not necessarily an Orthodox movie, right?
Nor is it even a Christian movie. We were asked a lot of times, is this a film just for Christians? And I think because Betsy has to stand up for her beliefs, this is something that all faiths could embrace. But yes, it takes place in a Protestant church, and her pastor, played by Jim O'Hare, you might remember him from Parks and Recreation on NBC. Jim O'Hare has a tour de force as her pastor and her counselor, who has to counsel her through all of this, even though he doesn't necessarily believe her story in either film. So so it takes place in a Protestant church, but the message is universal.
Yeah. So you mentioned one of the actors. Who else is in this movie?
Well, our lead actress is Karen Lesowitz. Karen is a graduate from Notre Dame and was an amazing find. I have no idea how the director, I should mention the director and producer and writer of the film is Robert Alanese. And Robert has a penchant for finding very good actors.
Mm-hmm.
And in her case, she came in and read for the first movie for a very small part. They asked her to read for a larger part. And then pretty soon they said, you know what, we may have Betsy here. And they had her read for it and she was perfect. She's a very expressive face. She's a very good actress. And we're very proud to have her, and I think great things are going to happen for her. You're already seeing her in television commercials, and you're going to see her in a lot more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Jim O'Hare, and we also have Steve Parks, a veteran Chicago actor. He plays her personal assistant, who steers her through the muddy waters that, in both films, gets her through all the troubles, and is her personal confidant as well. And in the second film, we have, as our villain, we have Gary Gow. Again, a Chicago actor, he's been in many of Robert Alanese's films, but he teaches, believe it or not, he teaches elementary school normally, and this is the first film he's ever made that his students can actually go see. And he plays the villain, but he plays it with just the right amount of villainy. To him, it's all about ratings, and he doesn't care really that that Betsy wins in the end. I hope I'm not giving it away, but I think I think you realize it wouldn't be much of a film if she doesn't win in the end. When she wins in the end, he doesn't care because it's just ratings. It's just, you know, good television. He even says that to her at the end.
So, kind of like Alfred Hitchcock, you show up in the both movies, right?
No, I'm in the second movie only. I wasn't in the first one.
All right.
I try to stay away because I'm not Cecil B. DeMille or Samuel Goldwyn. I don't want to see the rushes, and I want to tell people what to do. So generally, I stay away. But I did want to meet Jim O'Hare in the scene that I'm in, and so I was able to meet Jim O'Hare. Actually, it's funny that you bring up Hitchcock, though, because director Robert Alanis gives himself a small part in all of his films.
Oh.
And in Heavens to Betsy 1, he's someone who walks up and gets an autograph at a book signing.
Okay.
And in this one, he is one of the parishioners at the church who shows some flyers to the pastor.
Oh, now I'm going to have to go back and look at it again. yeah. Well, if you see Heavens to Betsy 2, there is a church scene where there's an audience, and you'll see Ron on the front row with his cell phone.
My cell phone at the head.
And but it's not a church service where you're playing with your phone.
It's not a church service.
No.
But I was asked to do that by the director, and good actors do what their director tells them to do.
Yeah. Well, you played your role well.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Ron, tell our listeners how they can view the film. If they're interested now, they want to see maybe both 1 and 2. What's the best way to do it?
Well, probably the best way if you want to view it on streaming is on Amazon Prime. Both movies are available there. As I said, it's going to be available on PureFlix in May. It's also on Vimeo right now. You can buy it in a number of places. You can buy it from Amazon. You can also buy it from ChristianBook.com and from the distributor, Vision Video. You can get it from them as
there
well.
You go.
So it's, and I'm even hearing it's going to be in places like Target. I don't think it's there yet, but I think it's supposed to be. So it's going to be widely available, and I highly encourage people to watch it because it's an uplifting message.
Well, it's safe for the family. We can verify that. And it is called Heavens to Betsy. And there is Heavens to Betsy and Heavens to Betsy 2. And we've been talking with one of the executive producers, Ron Smith, a good friend of ours here at Ancient Faith and an Orthodox Christian living in the far south suburbs of Chicago. And Ron, so nice of you to come by and chat with us about this today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm John Maddox for Ancient Faith Radio.